This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For you, Pretty Woman. You remember that song? Loved it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, June the 21st. Hey, it's the first day of summer already. We're moving along, are we not, in this year? In a few minutes, Weifeng Zong will join us from the Mercatus Center. And we are going to talk about Secretary of State Antony Blinken's China trip. We tried to talk about it our last show, and we were not able to connect with Weifeng, but I think we're going to do it this morning. And our questions will be, what did that China trip achieve, if anything, and will it bring the two countries any closer together? So stay tuned for that. And former Special Counsel John Durham is testifying before the House Judiciary Committee on his findings in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. As we speak, he is talking right now. We are going to take a look at that as well. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden apparently gets his wrist slapped, and that's about it, in his illegal gun charges and tax evasion scheme. His attorney says, well, that closes the books on any Hunter scandals. But here's our question. Is that right? Does it really? We're going to talk about it. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most successful third-party presidential candidates. So we got a lot to talk about. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You got to get over there, guys. Best haircut you'll find in Tampa Bay, I tell you. Call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. It's a great haircut, a great price, by the way. You won't find a better price for a haircut. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Also, Freedom Works is sponsored also in part by Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, whatever that it has to do with trees, stump removal, anything like that. Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So I'm listening to the Durham report right now. I should say I'm not really listening to it. I'm watching it. And they got the news scrawl up there, so you can read what they're talking about. And of course, the Democrats are still trying to connect Trump, and trying to say that the FBI really didn't do anything wrong when they opened that investigation. But Durham, I think he's holding his ground so far. He spent an awful long time looking into the so-called Russia collusion with Donald Trump. It turned out to be nothing. He testified behind closed doors yesterday afternoon. So this is a public hearing. You can tune into any of the cable news outlets. I think all of them are showing it right now. Republicans and Democrats on the committee are publicly giving him the once-over. You know, for all of the time it took for Durham to come out with this report, it didn't seem like he did very much in terms of finding anybody guilty of anything. There was a couple of slaps on the wrist for a couple of people. But other than that, there really wasn't much going on. If you remember, Durham was picked for the job 4 years ago by, at that time, Trump's attorney general, Bill Barr, to look into this and to investigate the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. It was called Crossfire Hurricane. And you remember them Democrats running back and forth to a judge to try to get the authority to do the investigation, and it turned out that all of it was coming from basically a trap set by Hillary Clinton and the gang. So anyway, that's going on right now, and we'll see if anything. The Democrats will continue to say that Russia was involved in some sort of collusion, and the Republicans will, of course, say maybe they were, but Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. In the meantime, we got another scandal going on, and much ado about nothing, it sounds like. President Biden said yesterday he's very proud of his saintly son, Hunter Biden, who signed a plea deal on federal tax charges. If you were watching anything, you know how Biden hates to answer any questions from the press, but he was at some function yesterday, and a reporter shouted out a question to Biden about how he felt about his son. He said, "Mr. President, have you spoken to your son today?" After Biden finished his speech. And the only thing Biden said is, "I'm very proud of my son." And that was it. So Biden apparently is pleading guilty to two misdemeanor counts of willful failure to pay federal income taxes. He owed in excess of $100,000. He's not going to see a minute of jail time. And he didn't pay the income tax for 1 or 2 years. Not like he just, you know, sent it in a little bit later. So, in the meantime, what's this thing with a gun charge? Did you know he actually threw the gun into a garbage can near a school? Or he had somebody do it for him? Meanwhile, he was freebasing cocaine or something like that. And there's nothing going on with that one either. I thought Biden was going to be cracking down on gun laws, making sure that we got all these strict gun laws in effect, right? All for you, but not for me. Apparently, that's the way Biden is on it. So, I don't know. It seems like a two-tier justice system in the country. And the question is whether or not, this is not going to stop the Republicans, by the way, from going after Joe Biden and Burisma. They're going to continue to hammer away at that. In the meantime, Biden's attorney says this closes the books on Hunter Biden. So we'll see where that all goes. Bill Barr, speaking about Barr, who again was the former attorney general under Donald Trump, says it's even more critical now that the Department of Justice release a document alleging a criminal bribery scheme involving Biden after the plea deal between prosecutors and his son. The Justice Department, of course, said that Hunter Biden, will plead guilty to just two misdemeanor counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax. The younger Biden also agreed to enter into a pretrial diversion agreement regarding a separate charge of possession of a gun by somebody who is unlawfully allowed to carry it or who is addicted to a controlled substance. I think he lied on a form about whether or not he had a drug problem.
Did they say how much he was, you know, he lied about his tax evasion, how much? I mean, because guys like Wesley Snipes went to jail.
Yeah.
He's a black man, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
No, it's
where is that uproar?
By the way, that's another thing that's been brought up. If you're white
and rich.
Well,
if you're white and rich, you're going to get a better deal than if you're black and poor. I don't know that in this particular situation has anything further than he's the son of the president, and the Justice Department is under his father.
Here's the thing: if he evaded taxes on, say, $5 million. The government, I would think that they want to know where that $5 million came from. Because now, if you go to the bank and you deposit more than, like, I don't know what it is, $20,000, the IRS is going to give you a call and ask you where that was. And I was just wondering, because all that money was dispersed among the Biden family all the way down to grandchildren, did that 10-year-old file a tax return, by the way?
This is why, I agree, and this is why I think that Hunter, in the long run, isn't going to escape this, because it's when you don't file taxes that's how they got Al Capone. He was caught not filing income tax on money that eventually he had to show where it came from, and that's what sent him to Alcatraz. And so we'll see where this goes, but he's going to have to justify, where did you get all that money? You know, you're owing millions of dollars or whatever it is in income tax. Where'd you get the money?
Sure, because if you or I know you deposit $50,000 every other day, and you get a call from the IRS.
I get them every other day. Yes, I do. I'm on a first name. I'm on a first name basis with them. Yes, you are correct, sir. Only in my dreams. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Weifeng Zong will join us. We're going to talk about Antony Blinken's China trip. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I gave a girl a ride in the way.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday. Delighted to have Weifeng Zong join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center on the grounds of George Mason University. And we're going to talk with Weifeng about the Antony Blinken China trip. By the way, President Biden yesterday called Chinese President Xi a dictator, sparking an angry reaction from Beijing. It's not like we're making nice with him very much, but Biden was speaking at a campaign fundraiser in California, and he suggested that Xi was embarrassed because he did not know about the Chinese spy balloon flying all over the United States earlier this year. Weifeng, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you for having me back, Paul.
Always our pleasure.
Always our pleasure. And you know so much about what is going on with China. And right now, I don't know. I think probably things are about as scary as they can be when it comes to our relationship with China. I mean, not only do we have the situation with Biden and Xi and their lack of communication, but now we got something going on in Cuba where apparently China plans a training facility. And are we going to sit back, a military training facility in Cuba, are we going to sit back and allow China to set up a military training base in Cuba?
This all brings back from memory, you know, the incident with Soviet Union. And I think every bit, like you said, Paul, it reminds us of the Cold War, which is, I think, it's actually good news that diplomacy is still going on with the Secretary Blinken's trip to China, because there is value to communication, right? If you have all the lines of communication closed, it would actually have more uncertainties and possibly worse outcomes.
Very true. I agree 100% with that. We've got to continue to talk. But it seems like they're walking all over us. We got them setting up a military base in Cuba, flying spy balloons over our country that we allow to go all the way across our country, setting up domiciles or buying property next to our military bases here in mainland United States. They were opening police stations, Chinese police stations. And we're just sitting back. It's like, it hit me again.
Well, you're certainly right to be concerned, and as I am as well. I think, if we look on, there are some bright sides, I guess, in terms of U.S. policies toward China in the last year. And if I were to name them, I would probably rank as number one the U.S. export control on advanced semiconductor chips to China, especially that seemed to be crippling the PLA, you know, the People's Liberation Army, quite a bit, because they relied on Chinese tech companies to support them, and Chinese tech companies relied on buying up these high-end semiconductor chips from overseas, especially from the U.S. Producers. And so I think there. The Beijing is certainly sensing the pressure, and perhaps that's why the provocation from Beijing recently have increased. But I think it's important to distinguish what events we can see on the outset versus where actual measures that the administration has taken at the economic and the industry level. I think the export control is going to have a long impact. And possibly more positive than we might think.
Okay, well, let's focus in on Anthony Blinken's trip itself. He goes over there, and eventually he did see Xi, but it seems like they treated him as sort of a second-class politician. He comes off the plane, and I don't know. Normally they give the red carpet treatment to people like Blinken when they arrive. But they certainly didn't seem to do it this time. It seemed like China went out of its way to make the trip by Anthony Blinken look like it wasn't all that important.
Well, I agree. I would also say that the secretary also has made it overly friendly, especially on the issue of Taiwan, to be overly agreeing with Beijing, because he said the U.S. does not support Taiwan's independence, which is part of the U.S. policy toward Taiwan and China for decades, because the U.S. has been saying that there's only one China. We recognize that the two sides on the Taiwan Strait have different interpretations of what that one China means. Mainland thinks it's the People's Republic. Taiwan thinks it's the Republic of China. But the U.S. is not, choosing any side. That has been the official policy towards Taiwan. And so saying that, the U.S. doesn't support Taiwan is part of their policy. But the Secretary Blinken did not also emphasize that we do not share Beijing's views, right? So when you say only partial truth on an important trip like this, and in an overly agreeing manner, I think it shows weakness. And that's actually very concerning to me.
Yeah, well, not only that. At one point, and maybe a couple of times, President Biden said that we would indeed defend Taiwan if they were provoked or attacked by mainland China. He basically said that's what we would do. Only for his administration to then come back and try to walk back what he said. Now, Blinken says, yes, there's only going to be one China. But the truth is that I don't think Biden and the administration is making a lot of coherent sense on what they would do. You know, on the one hand, if Biden, when he's asked, would we defend Taiwan, and he says yes, I mean, he just came out and said, yes, we would defend Taiwan. But then Blinken comes back, and it sounds like, no, we would not defend Taiwan. So which is it?
Absolutely. That's another part where the Biden administration has really significantly deviated from their predecessors, because the U.S. policy is to not say whether or not we would defend Taiwan.
Yeah, not to say. The U.S. policy has been to keep mainland China guessing as to whether or not we would defend Taiwan, correct?
Exactly. And the mistake President Biden has made, or its administration, is to say one thing and then say another thing immediately after. That's very different from not saying anything, right? Because you're sending mixed messages overseas. You are actually showing doubt about who is the commander-in-chief in this country, right? Because how can staffers walk back the president's statement on an important foreign policy? And the fact that you're right, Paul, but I think it has happened maybe three or four times, not just two.
Yes,
not just twice.
You're right. Yeah, now, and it seems like, by the way, we're talking with Huafeng Zong, who is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center on the grounds of George Mason University, and we're talking, we're actually talking about our relationship with China. Although I guess we were trying to make amends by sending Antony Blinken over there. But, you know, I think we are perceived by China as being weak, perhaps the weakest we have ever been when it comes to enforcing what we supposedly believe in. And a lot of people wonder if Donald Trump had won the presidency again, if we would have any of this concern about Taiwan, much like the situation with Russia and Ukraine. Many people think that with Trump, there would not have been an invasion of Ukraine. And with Trump, there would not be the concern, maybe not even have that military base right now being set up in Cuba. What do you think?
Well, I think that's hard to know. And certainly when it comes to the next election in 2024, the American people will have a chance to, you know, look into that or debate that even further. I actually doubt that China would not engage in with Cuba in this way had President Trump won the re-election, because China has long viewed Cuba as an important little brother, you know, allies, followers on the global stage. And so it's only a matter of time, in my view, that China would get deeper into controlling Cuba, because the Cuban economy is not doing well. And if you look at the Chinese economy, at least compared to, 20 years ago, when China first opened up to the rest of the world, China has been, a heavyweight now in the global economy. And that implies a lot of influences to on the countries that would listen. And Cuba has been one of them.
So
it's hard to say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's say that Trump wins re-election. I wonder if he wouldn't make a demand that at that point, let's say that China has begun setting up its military situation and its training facility there. I just wonder if Trump wouldn't step in and say, we'd like you to dismantle that and move out, much like what John Kennedy said to the Russians, although in that case, in 1962, those were nuclear missiles, which was a hell of a lot different than, a military base. But little by little, China's surrounding the Panama Canal. They're setting up situations around the Panama Canal. I think they're involved in about 31 countries in Central and South America right now. I mean, there is, they, if we have to realize there is something going on with whatever you want to call the word, colonialism, with China trying to make a dent around the world.
Absolutely. I think you made a great choice of word, Paul. It's little by little. That's exactly Chinese strategy. Not only does China control many ports around the world, having great influence in maritime travel, but it also has several overseas military bases besides the one that they are planning on. In Cuba, you know, China also has a military base in Djibouti, and that's a critical place in the Horn of Africa. And so the Chinese influence is, I think it has certainly has increased more or less quietly, actually, because of the increasing wealth in the nation and a lot of state-owned companies, national champions. They have a lot of influence overseas because of the business proposition is appealing to many countries, developed countries especially, when they really need more cash or foreign development aid. So I think that's a serious concern. I think the U.S. is only realizing it now and almost two decades too late, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which it was. It might have been Henry Kissinger that said he thinks we're going to have a confrontation with China, and he didn't mean just arguments. He meant more. He meant more like a military confrontation. Do you foresee that we're going to end up in a military confrontation with China down the road?
I think it's possible. What the most concerning scenario would be, or the most likely, I would say, is with Taiwan, because it's important to actually match your words with your action. You know, if you look at the U.S., the actual economic policy, including export control on China, they are actually not weak, but her messages are weak. You know, sometimes the president's message to China was weak, and so that actually induced expectations on Beijing that we do not want. You know, Beijing is thinking that we are weaker than we actually are. And so I think if we continue with this kind of mixed messaging, it would actually provoke China more than we thought.
Yeah.
And that's what concerns me the most with Taiwan.
Indeed. Well, Wai-Feng, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much for being with us. We just got to kind of keep our fingers crossed here that we can settle down this situation with China. Thank you so much for being
exactly.
with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Our pleasure. Wai-Feng Zhang. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about an Arkansas judge ruling regarding transgender procedures for minors in his state. I think you might find it rather surprising.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
back, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us here on the first day of summer. Believe it or not, June the 20th. I guess it's technically the longest day. We're going to have the sun out longer than any other day. So we got a lot of things going on besides Hunter Biden and the Durham report and the China situation. Among other things, the Biden administration lost a little battle in court. A so-called equity agenda of theirs suffered a major defeat in a lawsuit challenging the Minority Business Development Agency that was created under the Biden administration, a new federal agency. It was dedicated to helping only certain preferred racial groups, and a federal judge ruled that the Biden administration cannot discriminate based on race. This was a Trump-appointed judge. His name is Mark Pittman. He's based in Fort Worth, Texas. He delivered a remedial lesson in civics to the Biden administration. The Constitution demands equal treatment under law. And here's what he had to say. While such a statement should be obvious to any American, this was quite a painful blow to the administration. This agency was created as part of the Infrastructure Act. Remember Biden touting his infrastructure situation? And it was designed to help certain minority business owners with grants, training, government contracts, and other benefits to juice up their bottom lines. But it says here that the judge said that the agency won't help business owners who trace their ancestry to the Middle East, North Africa, or North Asia. What's more, all minority business owners who own less than 51% of their business are excluded from getting this agency's help. So when Biden announced that his equity agenda would build community wealth for underserved communities, he meant only preferred racial groups. And this goes against the discrimination laws of our country. So anyway, that has been stopped. Now, whether or not Biden appeals, we'll see about that. In another situation, another judge, and this one is in Arkansas, he ruled yesterday that an Arkansas law that bans hormones treatment, puberty blockers, or surgery for transgender minors is unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. It's a district judge, Jay Moody. He said that the first in the nation law for a state violated due process and equal protection rights of transgender youth and their families. And it violated First Amendment rights of healthcare providers by prohibiting them from referring patients elsewhere. I think this one for sure is going to get challenged. In other words, he's allowing surgery for kids who want to change their sex if the family decides that it's okay. Here's what he said. Rather than protecting children or safeguarding medical ethics, the evidence showed that the prohibited medical care improves the mental health and well-being of patients. Really? Is that right? You change your 7-year-old sex from one to another, that's going to improve his mental health? Okay. And he says by prohibiting it, the state undermined the interest it claims to be advancing. So anyway, the Republican Attorney General Tim Griffin said he was disappointed, and he plans to appeal that. I'm sure that he will. So in the meantime, we got how many more presidential candidates do we have running around, especially on the Republican side? We got them. Do we have the mayor of Miami? I think we do. He's announced he's going to be running. In the meantime, Chris Christie, who doesn't seem to have the chance of a snowball in hell, is running as president. And the main thing he seems to be doing on his presidential agenda is to go after Donald Trump. Christie fired back at Trump after Trump tore into him during an exclusive sit-down interview with Fox News the other day. I think, if I remember right, and I don't remember the word he used, but I think Trump made fun of Christie's weight, sort of like the kettle calling the pot black, if you want to know the truth. But anyway, here's what Christie had to say. What is this commentary from someone who wants to try to lead the whole country? He said, this is Christie talking about Trump. All he cares about is himself. If you watch the interview, that's what he does. He puts himself first and everyone else second. So being insulted by Donald Trump is a compliment to me. So away they go. I have to admit, I don't know, Ed, if you watched any of that interview, but Fox News did actually a two-part interview, and I thought the guy that did it for Fox was Brett Baer. Are you familiar with him? He did a heck of a... I thought he did a very good interview. He really kind of held Trump to answer directly, and Trump doesn't like to answer certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is very good about evading questions, and Trump, he'll talk over you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just keep going. I'll say one thing about Donald Trump. He's got an amazing level of energy. For a guy, he's, 76 or 70. He's got an amazing energy level. And so Brett Baer was really kind of hammering him about... Well, he had different topics, one of which was the classified documents.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump's own words may come back to haunt him, because he was apparently on record saying that he wanted to move documents around, and he was instructing his staff to hide them from the FBI so that they wouldn't find them. He didn't really directly answer when Brett Baer asked him about that. Said, you seem to be suggesting to your people that they hide documents and move them around,
Yeah, what he should do is just leave them in the garage next to the Corvette,
where everybody
can see them.
I don't think that they should go after Trump and try to jail him for this, because they're not going to jail Joe Biden for it. They certainly did not jail Hillary Clinton for what was much worse. So that is a given. But I wish Trump would just say, I have a right to these documents. I was still negotiating. I didn't want them.
That's what he keeps saying, though. That's what I keep hearing him say. I had a right to these things. I'm the one who says these are presidential documents. I am the one who gives it that right. I don't know. I'm not a legal expert when it comes to that.
I don't think he's got a strong case, but here's what I would argue. Why are you picking on me and not picking on these others?
Exactly.
That is his best argument. Not, I'm not guilty, I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you might be found guilty of doing something wrong, but don't argue that. Argue that you're being treated unfairly in comparison to the others. To me, that's his best argument.
Yeah.
And he's not doing that right now.
Well, because it's falling on deaf ears. They don't care about the other guy. They don't care.
That's right. They don't. And to me, that's the best argument.
I think
he's got a sympathetic judge.
You can't turn on the TV or you can't go on the internet with seeing something stupid going on with this administration that's today, whether it's that buffoon bumbling over his own words or his own feet. And yet we're going after this guy because technically some documents should have been moved here or there or whatever, and the other guy did the same thing, and the guy before him did the same thing. And all the accusations before that, the impeachment process, the women that are the great amount of women that are going to come forward. Where are those women now? Where are those women?
Yeah.
It's just going to be one thing after another. And if this doesn't work, they'll move on to the next thing.
No, I agree. All right, let's take our final break here. And when we come back, among other things, we've got a hell of a top 10 for you. We're going to give you the top 10 most successful third-party presidential candidates.
a sunshine sky, and there's a reason.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white, just a jackknife.
Hey, we are back. And Ed, thank you. It's much better. I can hear myself again. All right. Well, we got a lot of things that have been happening today. I don't know what's going on with the Durham report, but I see that he's still up there taking some questions. And where all of that will ever go, I don't know. What else we got going on here? Let's take a look. Oh, and I think you're going to find this of interest, Ed. You know, this Bud Light beer situation just is not going away. First of all, did we talk about what the number one beer is now? It's no longer Bud Light. Remember, Bud Light was number one, right? Best-selling beer. It's now Modelo. Modelo.
Well, it fits the way of the, what do we call it? If I say this.
Well, let me read this interesting.
Modelo is a Mexican beer.
Yes, it is a Mexican beer.
So with the
beer.
Amount of people that are flowing across the border.
Yes.
The number is
going to
rise.
No wonder it's a Mexican beer.
They're bringing their beer with them.
They're bringing their Modelo with them. Yeah. Modelo, and in particular, it's Modelo Especial, okay?
Oh.
Recently dethroned Bud Light as the top-selling beer brand in the United States. And like you said, with the growing Hispanic drinking age population and an increased trend toward premiumization as main causes. So you're right. We have more Hispanic drinkers, and it's made a difference. I had not until recently even heard of Modelo. Shows you how much I know about it. But
if that follows suit, Taco Bell is soon to be the first, the number one franchise, fast food franchise, and beat out McDonald's.
Although I don't think Hispanics are that big on Taco Bell because they like the real thing, don't
they? Yeah.
But yeah. So boy, what a mistake it was for any of these companies.
Well, Bud Light is now.
What do you think about the Los Angeles Dodgers and those gay nuns?
Yeah, didn't they lose 15-0?
They lost 15-0. A divine intervention.
Yeah,
divine providence. But they originally disinvited them when there was a hue and cry. The Sisters of Indulgence or something like that. I don't have it in front of me anymore. What would prompt the most popular, I think, probably...
Because if they don't, Paul, then they're going to be boycotted by that group. That you're
so
all
what?
You don't let us do it because you're homophobic.
They're not thinking. The Los Angeles Dodgers, first of all, There's a lot of Hispanics that love the Dodgers. There's a lot of Hispanics that play. And Hispanics don't think much, overall, don't think much of dissing Catholics. And the Sisters of Religious Indulgence, or whatever they are, it was a direct attack on the Catholic religion, making fun of Catholics.
No, it's to my understanding that...
Why would they want to do that?
The skit was supposed to be performed somewhere in the middle of the game. And what they did was they bumped it up to the first 5 minutes of the gate's opening. So there was really nobody in the stands.
I gotcha. They finally started to figure out that there's all kinds of people that were upset with what they were doing.
Everybody's protesting.
Why would they even think about doing it in the first place? Here's the deal. The Dodgers have the best attendance in baseball. They have more people showing up for their games than any other team. Over the years, they've been number one. And then they decide to do something like this.
Because you have some CEO that thinks he's got the pulse of the nation.
Apparently so.
And we need to reach out to this group and give them it's not reaching out, Paul, it's special privileges.
Of course.
And you got American vets that are coming back with no limbs and you don't do anything
exactly.
for them.
Oh no, yeah, and it's a slap in the face of an entire group of people, Catholics. It's a slap in their
face.
What
about African Americans? How come they're jumping right over African Americans and all their whole Pride Week month? They get this parade, they get that parade. You get what? One MLK parade and that's it?
I guess so.
That's
crazy. Yeah, it's just like, is this an intentional attempt to undermine our country's, I don't know, unity?
They get
if I wanted to separate people, you know, and disunify,
so
I can't think of a better thing to do than to start doing things, attacking people by race, attacking people by religion, and attacking people by sexual preference.
LGBTQRST gets more run than Shark Week, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And you got people on the White House lawn dropping their top and
yeah,
it's just disgusting.
Makes you wonder what's going on. I got to ask you this because we haven't talked on it, but it's so sad that whatever that device is that goes down to the Titanic.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking about those people inside.
Yeah,
that,
they only
that,
got a few hours left.
I know. What do you think?
I don't know.
Is there any chance that they're somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, floating on the top of the ocean?
They would have found them by now. Because it has a pinging device.
Yeah.
But they're 2 miles down, and they can't hear the pinging device, which means it's something must have happened to where they lost power. They're sitting on the ocean floor.
And they can't get up.
And can't move.
What a horrible thing.
And I don't know if you get a sub down there, how do you pull it up?
I don't know. I was wondering, is there not another one that could have gone down to look for them? Or did they only have one?
I think they only had one.
How fast can you get
that one ready?
I guess you're right. Well, I thought that maybe they could have sent down another
team. And
then
what do you do with another one sent down there? Now, like on submarines, official military submarines, there's a hatch on the submarines that's universal. If there's ever a tragic event that even Russia and the United States or Russia and China could hook up hatches and get those people out. But that sub does not have a universal hatch.
Well, there would be no way they could get them out down.
In other words, they can't send the sub down there.
The pressure would.
Oh, no. The pressure's unbelievable.
It would smush them. So you can't do that. I just thought that if maybe another sub could come down and at least see what the issue was and see what were they caught.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know.
You can't put a diver out.
I guess not.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's time for our top 10, Ed. And I think this is an interesting one based on the fact that there's a possibility that we might have a third party
presidential candidate. I know who the first one is.
Okay, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. By the way, this comes from How Stuff Works is the website, all right? And these are the top 10 most successful third-party presidential candidates. Number 10. In 2008, Ron Paul, he got 3% of the popular vote. Let's see here. He was actually a Republican congressman. He made his mark. All right, number nine. Strom Thurmond. Now, Strom Thurmond ran as a Dixiecrat in 1948. Very segregation-oriented party. He got 2.4% of the popular vote. And he lived to be over 100 years old, by the way. He was a long-time man in the Senate. Number eight, Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader, in 2000, got 2.74% of the popular vote. He ran as a Green Party candidate, and a lot of Democrats were really upset because they thought that it was because of Ralph Nader that George W. Bush was reelected.
Mm.
Okay, number seven. George Wallace, 1968, he got 13.5% of the Democratic vote. He broke away from the Democratic Party. And in 1968, that was when all of that trouble was going on.
Yep.
With the demonstrations in Chicago.
Yep.
And all over the country.
Alabama.
And yeah, Alabama. All right, number six. A guy by the name of Robert La Follette in 1924 got 16.6% of the vote. He ran for president on the Progressive Party ticket. That was when Calvin Coolidge was president. Number five, Ross Perot. Remember Ross Perot?
Oh, that was my horse.
There you go, Ross Perot. 1992, he got 19.5% of the popular vote. A lot of people thought it was because of Ross Perot. Both times he ran, that Bill Clinton became president.
Mm.
All right. Number four, good old Millard Fillmore. Now, he was actually the president, but he ran as a third-party candidate one time. He didn't win, but he got 21.6% of the popular vote. Number three. Number three is William Jennings Bryan in 1896. He got 45.8% of the popular vote. He was a congressman from Nebraska. He became famous in the Scopes monkey trial. He was an attorney in that trial about Darwin and monkeys and evolution. Number two, Teddy Roosevelt, 1912. He ran on the Bull Party ticket. It says here he got 29% of the vote, but he was the president. But he ran for office for the third time in 1912. The splintered Republicans sided with Roosevelt's 1908 presidential successor, William Howard Taft. All right, who do you think was number one most successful?
Let's see, we're talking jumping parties. The king would have to be Charlie Crist.
No.
No.
It was Abraham Lincoln.
Abe.
You know why? He won. But at that time, the Republican Party was the third party. It was the Democrats, the Whigs, and the Republicans were the third party. He won with 39.8% of the vote, but that was enough to win because there were three people running. All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Come back no more, no more.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
And a happy Wednesday, Tampa Bay, Big Ed.